here amongst you, and it's a privilege, brother. You esteem me too highly. Brilliant and frank, not things I often mix together, you know. I mean, it's very kind. But it's very, very gracious. So thank you so much. We're going to get a chance over the next couple of days to talk about two things that are very near and dear to my heart. First one is local church evangelism, and the other one is Jesus and His Word. How we approach evangelism, how we do evangelism. I believe that we have strayed from the basics of what evangelism is all about. I think we've strayed from that. Tonight we're going to talk about Jesus and His Word. We're going to learn something called two-fisted evangelism. Yeah. Yeah. And you ladies, you're going to learn two-fisted evangelism too. Just don't do it with your husbands. So, at any rate, I'm messing with you now. We're not going to do that kind of thing at all. We're going to learn that, though, tonight. And then on Saturday, we're going to begin to learn what the local church, how that plays into evangelism, local church evangelism. I'm a local church evangelist. That's what I do. I'm a local church evangelist for the Crossing Church in Sequim, Washington. I'm also part of a fellowship of like-minded evangelists called the True Vine Fellowship. It's a loose fellowship of evangelists. We look to work together on the Olympic Peninsula to do the work of evangelism with a multitude of churches coming together with a common message, right? That's what I do. So, indeed, it's a privilege to be here now. So, have you ever heard the story of the four pastors who used to get together every single week? They would get together and they'd go out for lunch. And then, as pastors will do, they talk theology, right, brother? Isn't that what we do, Brother Paul? Yeah. You bet, you bet, yeah. Well, so these four would go out, and three of the pastors would always agree. See? Always agree, and the one was left out. This would go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Three would agree, and the one would be left out. And one day they're out for lunch, and this pastor, you know, it's happening again. But the pastor knows he's right. He knows he's right. So he shoots up a prayer and says, "Lord, you know, I need some help on this thing. I know I'm right on this thing. You're just going to have to help me." So all of a sudden this cloud comes over, right, dark cloud. And the pastor says, "Well, look, you see the sign? I'm telling you, I'm right. Look, look at the sign." "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a cloud, okay? You know, Lord, I need more help than this. You're just going to have to help me here." So all of a sudden the cloud turns really dark, lightning and, you know, rain and everything else. And the pastor says, "Look, I'm telling you. I am telling you this is a sign. I'm right. I'm right." They go, "Yeah, okay, so now it's raining, okay? Big deal, right?" Finally he says, "Lord, I just need your help on this thing, right?" So all of a sudden, this big booming voice comes out of the cloud. "He's right!" I said, "Guys, did you hear him? He just said I'm right." So, big deal, 2-3. You know what the difference between an evangelist and a pastor is? Pastor is reasonable. I'm an evangelist. I'm not a reasonable man. Okay? I'm just not. And, you know, I have to tell you this. This is a biblical reality, too. We're all familiar with Stephen, right? Now, Stephen's message was really very reasonable, wasn't it? Beautifully reasoned, right? But how reasonable is it to preach that message to a bunch of people who want to stone you? How reasonable is that? Right? But, you know, Stephen did, right? And what was the result of Stephen being willing to do that? Does anybody remember? What happened? Did anybody? What happened? There was someone holding a coat out there listening. What happened? Yes. It was Saul. And what happened to Saul? He believed on the Lord, right? And we know him today as who? Who do we know him as today? Paul. Very good. See, I'm not a reasonable man, right? See, my wife, I have to tell you, I adore my wife. She is so much my better half. But, you know, and I call home every night and I see how she's doing, right? She said, "Honey, you know how far it is out there to Jansen, Nebraska? I said, what are you doing out there in Jansen, Nebraska? How did this happen? I'm not a reasonable man. I'm not a reasonable man. And she's gathered this by now. She's lived with me long enough, right? It's 20 years. And she said, I'm not a reasonable man. Okay, fine. Makes perfect sense to her, right? But the reality is, you know what? I wouldn't miss the joy of being here with you right now at this moment. How good is the Lord? Is the Lord good? Amen. I can't hear you. I need to hear this. Yeah, amen. Amen. The Lord is good. You know what? But I'm not a reasonable man. I have to tell you that. If you ask me, well, what kind of church do you go to? Well, I go to a Baptist church. Well, there you go. That explains that. So, at any rate, but we really, when we talk about evangelism, we don't want to talk about denomination here. See? We've got to reach beyond that. I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I am living, I possess right now everlasting life, and I am living it right now. Amen? Amen. I am indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I've been entrusted with a message to share. What do we call that message? Anybody? Good news. Good news. The gospel. Yes, we have been entrusted with that. You know? So let me ask you a question. Why do we fail to share good news? I can't be the only one who's failed in that regard. Raise your hand. Who here has failed to share good news? Come on. Don't get shy on me. We'll do this all night long, brother. Come on now. Don't be shy on me. Have you failed to share good news? I mean, you saw an opportunity. You go, oh. How is it that we fail? Right? I'm living eternal life right now. I'm indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and I've been entrusted with a message. How do I fail? Right? I see some children out here, and that's an absolute awesome blessing. It's so wonderful to see them. When my son was born, my wife and I rejoiced. We absolutely rejoiced. Have you been, some fathers out here, were you there when your wife gave birth to your children? Did you see that? Was that awesome? Were you rejoicing? Were you praising Jesus for that? Amen? If you, well, that's weak. That is, I mean, that is really weak. For all the work that your wife had to go through to have your baby, amen. That we need a little bigger amen than that, brother. Come on. Let's go to amen. Thank you. Man, boy, I'm telling you, you're going to get me in trouble with my wife, and she's over 2,000 miles away. At any rate, so bottom line, the miracle of my son's physical birth, we rejoiced. I was crying. Yeah, me, 6'8", 240 pounds. I'm crying like a baby. Absolutely wonderful. It was just such a joy to see, right? And you know something, rumor has it, on December the 5th, I'm going to celebrate my son's birthday. I've been doing it for 16 years. How can I celebrate my son's birthday, right? The physical birth of my son, and yet I don't share the message that brings forth spiritual birth, spiritual life. Now, how long does eternal life last? Does anybody know? Will someone tell me? Forever. See? Well, you know, maybe we live 80 years, right? Maybe we live 90 years. Some of us may even live 100 years. You ready for that, brother? You hope so? He's a brave soul up here. Either that or he's really young. Yeah, let me tell you something. Old age is not for sissies. You're going to find that out. Amen, brother? Am I right? I'm right, see? Yeah, so you hold on to that thought. Remember that. He said 100, right? We've been praying for you for 100. We don't know if that'll be a blessing or a curse, brother, but we'll find out, right? Well, the point is, how do we fail, see? Think about it. But we do, right? Well, I believe, well, first of all, what I'd like you to do, if you have a piece of paper, do you have a piece of paper, anybody? Just write down a number on a scale of 1 to 10. If you were going to rate yourselves in regard to evangelism, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, just write it down. If you don't have a piece of paper, just mark it in your mind. Yeah, hopefully you don't forget as much as I do. But write it down, okay, or think it to yourself, okay? All right? Think about it. Now, why is it we fail? I think one of the things we fail to do, okay, one of the things that we fail to do is we fail to realize that all around us is a spiritual battlefield. You know, it doesn't look that way, does it? especially when I can go down to the supermarket and buy anything I want, right? I can go down to the mall, right? Boy, it just doesn't, where's the battlefield, Frank? What are you talking about? But it's a spiritual battlefield. Now, I don't want you to take my word for it, okay? So let's go ahead and we'll turn for just a second here. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I know, all of you know this, okay? I'm not preaching it. If I preach something new, stone me. Thank you. Very good. No, seriously, I'm not preaching anything new. We all know these things, but we need to be reminded. Thank goodness we have the Bible, right? Okay, but now listen to Paul's words. These aren't my words. Verse 12 of chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual battlefield. Paul understood that. And Paul instructed the Ephesians on putting on the spiritual, what? Armor. Very good. You know, I know my brother Paul has been teaching you that, hasn't he? How to put on the spiritual armor. It's important. It's huge, right? See? It's important. Now, let's look at verse 19. Let's see how Paul closes this out. Verse 19, chapter 6. And he's asking them for prayer. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What he's saying is, I need your prayers so that I can share good news on this spiritual battlefield. See? This is what he's saying. This is a spiritual reality. This is a spiritual battle. He's asking for them to pray for him. You know, when I look at that, I ask myself, I said, well, am I praying for my brothers and sisters in regard to evangelism, how they're going to do on the battlefield? Am I seeking out prayer? What am I doing? You see? It's very, very important. And again, how is it that we fail to share good news? See? Paul is crying out to them for prayer. Why? So he can share good news. He can have victory on the spiritual battlefield that surrounds him. Have things changed at all? I guess, you know, no, it hasn't. It hasn't changed at all, has it? Same battlefield. Oh, it looks different today. Same battlefield, okay? So, there are three things that are obstacles that all of us here are going to face in regard to evangelism. We need to be aware of these obstacles so that we can overcome these obstacles. We just had a wonderful young brother in the Lord. Thank you so much for singing that song. What was he singing? Does anybody remember? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Who hears, well done, good and faithful servant? The one who overcomes. We need to be overcomers in evangelism. We need to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Who here wants to hear, well done, good and faithful servant at the Bema Seat? Amen? Amen. That's what we're doing right now. We're looking to be pleasing to the Lord, to honor and glorify Him, especially in evangelism. So we need to overcome these three obstacles. The first obstacle, in the midst of life itself, sometimes we lack confidence in our message. We lack assurance of who we are as born-again believers. And we lack sufficiency to endure in the training and practice of evangelism. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. You got to train and practice evangelism. If you're going to do it, you got to train. And that means you have to endure. And that's a challenging thing to do. Those three things, okay? Very, very, very important to overcome them. So today we're going to teach you a refrain. Now, I'm not going to sing for you, because if I sing for you, you all leave. Okay? It's sad. It's really sad. I don't sing nearly as well as you do, brother. It's just a fact. But I have a little refrain, and I can do that for you, okay? Emmanuel, Jesus, and His Word. Now, when I say Emmanuel, what I want you to do is I want you to raise your fist. Jesus and His Word. That includes you ladies, too. Don't get shy on me. Okay? This is all. I only do interactive sermons, okay? You're dealing with an unreasonable man here, okay? Emmanuel, Jesus, and His Word. We got to practice this more. Okay, now. When I say Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Jesus, and His Word. Let's do it. Emmanuel. You guys are great. Man, these guys catch on fast. You got the easiest job around, brother. I'm amazed. Really, no, seriously. Now, why is that so important? What does Emmanuel mean? Yeah. You know, when you're in the midst of a battlefield, is that an important concept? Is that an important reality for you to think about? Boy, if you're not thinking about that, you know what you're going to do? When the Jehovah Witness or Latter-day Saints knocks on the door, you're going to go and open the door and step in the closet and shut the door. That's what you're going to do. I hate to tell you that. This is truth. God with us. God with us. Emmanuel. So remember that. Now, Jesus and His Word. Listen to how I use this refrain to recall the things that are important to do in the midst of a battlefield situation, okay? A spiritual battle. Remember, it's a spiritual battle, right? Who's the enemy? Satan, right? It's not the unbeliever. The unbeliever is the object of our love, right? Don't get that confused. Okay? It happens a lot. I used to do that. I'll tell you about that on a later date. You already know about that, brother. But seriously, you know, the enemy is Satan, principalities. The unbeliever is the object of our love. See? All right. So, now, how does this play out? Why this refrain? Why would I do this? I want to be reminded that God is with me. Now, so Emmanuel, and then when I'm getting ready to witness to someone or share with them, I shoot up a quick Nehemiah prayer. Lord, give me words. See? Now, you obviously don't stand in front of someone that you're going to witness to and say, Lord, give me words. Right? See? You say it silently. Right? And you don't close your eyes. How many here pray while they're driving? I do it on a regular basis. I need all the prayer I can get while I'm driving. Bottom line, I never shut my eyes when I'm praying when I'm driving. If you do, I don't want to drive around on the road with you. You're scary. So at any rate, bottom line, okay? Emmanuel, shoot up a quick Nehemiah prayer. Lord, give me words. You know that prayer can be as simple as help. You don't think Jesus hears that? He does. See? So, Emmanuel, I shoot up a quick prayer. Jesus and His Word. See? Jesus' Word. There's power in Jesus and His Word. See? Picture a boxer, two-fisted boxer. There's power in that. There's power in Jesus, power in His Word. You know, I have to confess, I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm an evangelist, right? Pastors have to preach on the fancy stuff like the armor of God. I keep it simple. Two-fisted evangelism. That's the way it is. And this is how you have to be when you're in the field. You got to be simple. See? Jesus and His Word. You can't get complicated. So, what does that look like? Let me share with you. Emmanuel, Lord, give me words. Now, I'm saying this silently. I want you to see, though, how it works. Lord, give me words. And when I'm sharing with someone, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the one who was crucified and resurrected on the third day, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe Jesus? You know, what happens when you believe that promise? Well, you take Jesus' word, you're not going to perish. You take Jesus' word, what do you have? Everlasting life. Thank you. What was that again? What do you have? Everlasting life. You take Jesus' word when He prompts you everlasting life, and you get what? does not take a PhD. No one has ever believed the promise of everlasting life and gotten spaghetti and meatballs. It's not happened. It has never happened. It will never happen. Why is that? Excuse me. You know, you should have gotten me that stool. I'll get pretty excited up here. I warned you. I normally sit down on the job right around now to cool my jets, but I get pretty excited. So, anyway, Jesus is the one who speaks, and it is. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, we can have a really fancy doctrine. And believe me, there are those who do. But the bottom line is, Jesus always does what he says. His promise is absolutely good. When he promises eternal life, what do you got? Thank you. Yeah. Amen. Now, can you see what we're doing here? What we're returning to is the basics. Does that remind you of what Jesus went through in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights? Right? And Satan came to him, right? Well, what did Jesus do when Satan came to him? What did he say? Well, look at Matthew chapter 4, verses starting with verse 1. Let's just go ahead and look. See? We can see for ourselves. Now, Jesus has been in the desert, in the wilderness, for 40 days, 40 nights. Right? So Satan comes to him, if you're the Son of God, verse 3, command these stones become bread. Now, this is Jesus answering. Now, look at this. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus is going to God and his word to answer Satan. Now, he does this twice more, right? And we all know this path. See, this is not anything new, right? We know all this stuff, right? We've read this many times over. See, we all know this. But in the heat of battle, we forget it. We ignore it. What did Jesus do? If Jesus did it, is it good enough for us? What was that? Come on. If Jesus did this, what is that? Amen. Amen. If Jesus gives us this perfect example of what to do on the battlefield, spiritual battlefield, and lo and behold, when we're out there doing evangelism, well, I wonder what I should do. What am I supposed to do? I'm so confused, and we're silent. It happens. It's real. Okay? It's real. But here's the example. So that's the refrain. Emmanuel. Come on. Don't get shy on me. Come on. All right. All right. Very good. Okay. Emmanuel, Jesus and his word. There's power in Jesus' word. Think in terms of a simple metaphor of the boxer, see? That's what we want to think about. Now, let's go and look at that first obstacle we need to overcome, right? Confidence in our message. That's so critical. It's so foundational, see? And yet, in evangelism, you'd be surprised, it's really hard to achieve sometimes. It really is. I mean, look right now at this board. There's a lot of messages on here. Would you agree? Would you agree there's a lot of messages on here? Now see, if you and I, if we stand right back there where the gentleman in the blue is, what is your name?
Cody.
Okay. Pardon me? Cody. If we stand there with Cody, we look at this and we go, wow, that looks like a nice patchwork quilt, right? That looks great, doesn't it? I mean, it really looks nice. But when you stand up close to it, it's not so nice anymore. It is a confusing maze of all kinds of messages. You were right. There's all kinds of messages up here saying all different kinds of things. It is chaos. Absolute chaos. And come up here and feel free to look later and take one down and read it and stuff like that. Please do, okay? But it's chaos. Now, what do you think the unbeliever sees when he looks at this. He goes, well, you know, those Christians sure are nice people, but they're really confused. They're really confused. They can't seem to get their message straight. These guys can't get their message straight. And you know what? When we go to do evangelism and we can't get our message straight, how effective are we in evangelism? Not very effective, right? Oh, thank you. Oh, who did this? Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you, Chuck. Now, I want you to know that was really hard to do. That was really difficult. I had to work at that really hard. You know where I'm coming with that, right, brother? Anyway, if we have a confused message, right, evangelism becomes really difficult, and the unbeliever goes, wow, these guys are really nice, but they're confused, right? And is God an author of chaos and confusion? No, absolutely not. Well, I'm glad you agree with me. Is there a way that we can get this sorted out? Let's go to Isaiah 55. And again, this isn't a passage that you've probably been there many, many times. It's nothing new. I'll tell you what, is there someone out here that would read this for me in a loud voice? Thank you, brother. Please. You go right ahead. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. Okay, is there someone else who... I'm losing my voice too, brother. I empathize with you. I resemble that remark. Did you hear what our brother was saying there when he read that last verse? Read that last verse again, please. Without succeeding. You know, in my translation, it says the word will not return void.
Right.
It will accomplish what it is purpose to do. So if we can identify the purpose, God's purpose, right, in a book, well then, that whatever that book is purposed for, it will never return void. Never. How do we know that? Because God tells us so. It's just that simple. You know, in the Gospel of John, right here, and by the way, we have about 2,300 of these in the back of the church for y'all. This old Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Oh, that must be eternal life, brother. Isn't that what I'm living right now? Thank you. I needed that assurance. No, I'm just playing with you, brother. All right. At any rate, Roger, you're here to keep me in line. Remember that, okay? Yeah. So at any rate, the purpose of the Gospel of John is explicitly given to us. It is a message to the unbeliever that they can have eternal life, life in his name. Wow. You see? God has a book of the Bible set aside to do what all these tracts are trying to do. Now, I'm not going to tell you that these tracts can't be used by the Lord, because my wife was brought forth and someone used the four spiritual laws with her. Any one of these tracts can be used. But what I'm saying to you, there's an infinitely better approach. One that does not create confusion. One that is abundantly clear all the time. One that will never return void is a message that you and I can have 100% confidence in. And we're not talking about 99.9% Ivory Soap confidence here. Where did I get that? We're not talking about that kind of confidence. We're talking about 100% perfect confidence. This word will never return void. That means if you share the Gospel of John with an unbeliever and they tell you to get lost, I got news for you. The Lord is well pleased. That's what was needed. That word will not return void. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But right now I need a volunteer. I told you I was an unreasonable man. I need a volunteer. Someone raise their hand. Thank you. Come on up. Come on up, please. There you go. This is my kind of sister in the Lord right here. All right, yes. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to practice that refrain, okay?
Okay.
All right, so when we say Emmanuel, okay, silently you're just going to say a prayer, okay? Now, you can say it aloud to them, okay, just for demonstration purposes, but you would normally say it just quietly, okay? All right, and then we're going to do a little something here with Jesus and his word, right?
Yeah.
All right. Emmanuel, go ahead. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Lord help me. Jesus and his word.
Yes. Now, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Go ahead and say it.
Jesus, Christ, the Son of God.
That's right. Very good. You see, that's sufficient. We're identifying his authority. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Go ahead and say it again.
Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God.
Okay. Now, watch this. And his word says,
if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying it to you, give me a drink. And you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. But whoever drinks from the water I will give him will never thirst again, forever. On the contrary, the water I will give him will become within him a spring of water gushing up to eternal life.
Awesome. Now, we follow that. Do you believe Jesus? Wait, go ahead. Do you believe?
Jesus.
Yes. You're doing a wonderful job. What is your name?
Riley.
Now, there's only one last thing to do. See? Watch this. Show me. Go ahead. Ooh, don't mess with her. Don't mess with Riley. Riley, you did a fabulous job. Now, what did Riley just do? Okay? What did she just do? She's sharing the gospel. She just preached the word. From the Gospel of John. It's that simple. Now let me ask you a question. If you can do this, Riley, do you need all this stuff here?
Nah.
Thank you. That's the correct response. That was perfect. That's almost as good as no, not hardly. That's really good. I like that, Riley. You're fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're wonderful. Now, if Riley can do this, can you do it? Do you need this? Do you need this? Chaos. Can it be used by the Lord? Yes, it's been used many times over. And there are even some up here that I like. Don't stone me, please, but it's true. I like some of these messages. You do too, right? But it's no substitute for the Word of God, purposed explicitly to bring forth eternal life in the unbeliever. There is no substitute. We have a 100% certain message. They will never return void. Never, ever return void. That's what we've been given. So can we overcome that obstacle? She just did. Can you do it? Oh, please. Amen?
Amen.
A little louder, please.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we can. We really can. Now, what's the second obstacle? Second obstacle really comes out of the first obstacle. A confused message, and we really don't know even if we have eternal life. We lack assurance of who we are. Boy, can you imagine a boxer in a boxing ring, and he's boxing away, and he goes, you know, I'm just a farmer from Kansas. He puts his gloves down and said, I'm just a farmer from Kansas. What does the opponent do? Well, he says, okay, let me go sit down in the corner. Is that what he's going to do? Not until he flattens him. He's going to flatten his opponent. So you're a farmer from Kansas. Good for you. Pow! Right? Isn't that what he's going to do? Right? If I'm wrong, you let me know. Okay? I'm an unreasonable man. So, the reality is, okay, we need to know who we are. We need to know 100%. Not this 99.9% ivory soap business. Right? Well, how can we know who we are? Is it by our good works? Trust me, ask my wife. I'm not good enough. It's true. I'm being honest with you. Hey, guys, ask your wives if you doubt me, right? They'll tell you, you're not good enough. I love you, but you're not good enough. It's the way it is. We've been blessed, haven't we? We know God's grace in our life because of our wives. I do every day. It's totally awesome. Just absolutely. Yeah, and your wife makes some mean potato salad, brother. Unbelievable. Man, oh man. We're sitting at the dinner table, you know, about ready to go for Thursday night. That may be sin, right? We could have sinned, right? And he's going, you know, Frank, I never go hungry around here. I believe him. Yeah, I believe him. I believe him. So, but our wives, see? God's grace to us. So, any rate, assurance, knowing who we are 100%. It can't come from our good works, right? Right? And it's certainly not going to come from a charismatic experience either. Right? None of that. Where does it come from? Where does 100% perfect assurance come from? Anybody? Jesus and His Word. Excellent. Outstanding, young man. Jesus and His Word. Oh, what is this? Emmanuel, Jesus. Emmanuel! Yeah, we never stray from that. See, my assurance comes from Jesus and His Word. It is really that simple. When we make it complicated and we stray from that, you know, well, you know, the day's been kind of rough. I think I'm about 85% saved. If we let our subjective experience determine that, right? Am I the only one who resembles that? Right? Have you all had a bad day? No one's had a bad day around here, no? We all have had that. Jesus and His Word, we keep our eyes on Jesus and His Word and we have 100% assurance. Not 99.9% ivory soap assurance. It's simply not sufficient. So with that, I need another volunteer. Another brave soul. You want to come forward? Come on. Come on, sweetheart. You can do this. Absolutely. Please. What is your name? Sylvie? Zoe. Zoe, that's a beautiful name. Come on down. Don't be shy now. Yeah. There you go. We go barefoot around our house, too. Now, Zoe, here we go. Now, we're going to do exactly what we did before, right? Okay? So, when we say Emmanuel, right, I want you just to say a real short, simple prayer, okay? To ask Jesus for help to tell someone about Jesus. Can you do that? Yeah, okay. Well, Zoe, now look out there, okay? All right? Emmanuel. Now that's a precious prayer, okay? The Lord understands that prayer. That's very good. Now, you remember Jesus. Do you remember who Jesus is? Jesus, the one who was crucified and resurrected on the third day. Can you say that? Jesus.
The one who was crucified
and resurrected on the third day. Did you hear that? Yeah. Did you hear that? And His Word, He said... If you can read that for me right there.
Amen, amen. I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come into judgment, but has passed from the death to life.
Do you believe Jesus? Say it loud.
I believe Jesus.
No. Do you believe Jesus? Say it.
Do you believe Jesus?
Thank you, Zoe. That was totally... No, don't go yet. Come on, Zoe. Come on. Watch. Pow, pow. Go ahead. All right. Zoe, you're awesome. Nice job, Dad. Very nice. What happened? What did Zoe just do? Just share the gospel? Just preach from the Gospel of John? Do you really? I mean, what would Zoe do if she had to deal with this mess? I can't even deal with it. Really? If you ask me to explain to you all these confused messages here, how far do you think I'm going to get? I won't even get through it in a month, brother. I'll need help from you. I'm telling you, this is a mess. See? And where's my assurance here? Unclear messages, everything else. Now, did you hear the verse she quoted? This is my, really. Does everyone have a life verse? Okay. John 5:24 is what I call my life verse. If you look in my truck, you'll see a little plaque that says John 5:24. I love this verse. It is absolutely fabulous. Most assuredly, I say to you, and it's none other than one who was crucified and resurrected on the third day, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, none other than Christ, the Son of God Himself. He who hears my word and believes on Him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Now, assurance doesn't get any better than that. I'm going to tell you. Okay? Listen to this. Who's the one who sent Jesus? God the Father. Jehovah Himself, right? So what's Jehovah's Witness in regard to His Son? The one who believes in Him has everlasting life, present, right now. I have it and I'm living it. Is that exciting? Do you like living eternal life? It's about as exciting as it gets. I want to hear an amen on that. Amen. It's exciting to be born again. It's the most wonderful thing. I shall not come into judgment. Now, understand, okay? For believers, we're all going to be judged at the Bema seat, right? Our brother there was singing about it. That point in time where we are judged to be rewarded, right? And we want to hear what? We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Yes, amen. We want to hear that. See? So we're not talking about that judgment seat. We'll not come into judgment at the great white throne. Now, why don't we come into judgment at the great white throne? What's at the great white throne? Okay, very good. Right? There's a book. It's a book of... And your name is in the book of life. Wow. Is Jesus good? Shall not come into judgment. Future reality. You will never go to the great white throne. We'll go to the Bema seat in order to be rewarded for faithful service right now, today. And that involves evangelism. Right? Amen? Amen. All right. Great. Emmanuel. Jesus and His Word. That's what we do. You guys are great. Now, so that's future. But has passed from death into life. It's perfected tense. At a point in time, past, I went from death to life. So, future, present, and past. Does assurance get any better than that? And who's telling us this? Jesus. You know, in my Bible it reads most assuredly, but my brother John is correcting me. He said, Frank, you know, in the original text it says, amen, amen. And what John is, and I believe he's right. A lot of times he's right. Trust me. Right? You know, a lot of times he's right. But I believe what's being said when it says, amen, amen, it's the amen of Jesus and the amen of the Father. Now, how much more assured do you want? You can't get any more assured than that. So what do we have? We have 100% assurance. We do not have this 99.9% assurance that says, well, you know, There's a remote chance I might be a farmer from Kansas. Right? See, we know who we are, and that's really important. So we've overcome the first two obstacles. 100% confident message, 100% assurance of who we are. But you know, I got to tell you, have you noticed that the Christian life is not a bed of roses without thorns? There's thorns in life. Sometimes it just gets tough. It gets like, life is tough, and it's hard sometimes to endure. Right? See? And we need sufficiency to endure in the training and practice of evangelism. Right? It's hard. See? Now where do you think we would find that kind of sufficient endurance? Where would we find it? Who would we look to first? Jesus. Jesus and His
Word.
Great. You know, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus and His Word. We don't want to depart from that. It's simple. I grant it. You know, I'm an unreasonable man. I'm a pretty simple man. I keep it simple, right? Jesus and His Word, right? See? Two-fisted evangelism. But you need to keep it simple when you're on a spiritual battlefield and everything's coming at you all at once and life is happening. You need to keep it simple. Let the theologians make things complicated. You do the work of evangelism. You share a clean, crisp message. And you endure, and you keep doing it, keep doing it. How many of you have family members who are unsaved? Raise your hand. Okay? Are you praying for them? Right? Yeah? Are you looking for opportunities to share with them? Right? Your love for the Lord? Share the good news, right? Don't stop. Don't stop. You know, I wasn't born until I was 36. The Lord never gave up on me. Right? He didn't give up on me. See? But we need the sufficiency to endure. See? We really need it. And it comes from God and His Word. Jesus and His Word. I need another volunteer. Please, come on up, son. Yes, please. You know, this is wonderful. Do you know how the Lord is blessing us here? Amen?
All right.
These are wonderful children. Come on over here, son. Yeah. Yeah, here we go. Now, this is going to be our passage here, okay? But we're going to start, right? Now, we say Emmanuel, and then we say a short, simple prayer, okay? So, Emmanuel, and just say a short, simple prayer. Ask Jesus to help you share with people. Okay, go ahead.
Emmanuel, please help me share with other people about the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Jesus. Now, Jesus is also the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we say, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Can you say that?
Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Says. So I say says.
Says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world.
Awesome. Wonderful job. Now, ask now, do you believe Jesus?
Do you believe Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. What is your name, son?
Fisher.
Fisher. Awesome, dude. Nice job. Well done. Good and faithful. All right. Thank you. Now, the beautiful thing about the Gospel of John is even, how old are you, Fisher?
11.
Wow, 11-year-old can do this. What did this 11-year-old do? He preached the Word of God from the Word of God, didn't he? He wasn't lost in this mess, was he? He went right to the Word. He's 11 years old, and he preached from the Word. Amen?
Amen.
How about you? Can you do this? Boy, I sure hope I can. Because you know what? If we're willing to do this, one day we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, how important is the gospel, the good news to God? Well, it's important enough that he sent his son to the cross. Right? It's really important. We need to seize every opportunity that we can to share good news with others. It's just that important to God and to us. One day, we'll be at that Bema seat. It's totally awesome. So, now, what have we done so far? We've got 100% confident message, 100% assurance of who we are. We've got 100% ability to endure. Now, how does this work? Okay? This endurance business, sufficiency to endure. Well, let's look at the story of Martha. Now, imagine, here you are, you've got your sister Mary, right? You're living in a society that is totally male-dominated, okay? Right? Totally male-dominated. If you lose your father and you lose your brothers, you're in really very dire circumstances. It is awful, okay? You don't have any financial prospects. You are in trouble, big time, right? So here is Martha, right? And she is really, talk about having her own private rain cloud, and it just seems like it's drenching her right now. She is really upset, and rightfully so, in her society. Wow. Have you ever experienced that kind of thing in your own life? Have you? I have. Right? So where does she get the sufficiency to endure? Where does Jesus go? He says, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, that's our testimony, isn't it? Do we believe like Martha believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do we believe like Martha does? Well, you know, if we believe like Martha does, then our testimony is, though I may die, I shall live. In living, I shall never die. Wow, that makes a big difference when life is really hard and tough, knowing that I have everlasting life. And guess what? I have a glorified resurrection body waiting for me. Anybody here looking forward to that? Am I the only one here who's looking forward to that glorified resurrection body? Amen, brother. All right. You're going to have to wait till you're 100. I'm not gonna... We've been praying for you, brother. We may have to pray. So, anyway, here's the bottom line, okay? Does that make a difference to you? See, now, I ride a motorcycle, okay? And right now, we're planning on riding from Sequim, Washington to Dallas, Texas on a motorcycle. I told you I was an unreasonable man, right? Really, I am, right? See, and it's really kind of amusing because, if I gave you a 3.5-pound helmet and asked you to wear that for another half hour, he'd probably look at me like, I'm not wearing a 3.5-pound helmet for half an hour. Are you kidding me? But I'm going to do that for 10 to 12 hours a day, bouncing along on the road. You know, I'm not a reasonable man. I'm being honest with you, okay? And it's even more unreasonable to think that 3.5 pounds of plastic is going to do me any good in an accident, right? That's really unreasonable. That's borderline foolish, right? Oh, forgive me. But I love riding motorcycles, and I'm not a reasonable man. Just the way it is, okay? So, well, I think this gray hair's got deeper roots than I thought, brother. You know? Yeah, some purpose, yeah. The key here, okay, is to understand that Martha is in dire circumstances, and her assurance comes from Jesus and His Word. His promise of a glorified resurrection body and life. What He's saying to her is, know who you are, know who I am. I am your sufficiency. When things get rough, get your eyes on me and who I am. Now, we all know the end of the story because He resurrects Lazarus, right? But her comfort isn't there any longer. It's in being reminded of who she is, that she's believed in the Christ, the Son of God, and that she has a perfect promise of a glorified resurrection body and is now living eternal life. When we keep our eyes on Jesus and His Word, we have perfect, 100% sufficiency to endure, to put one foot in front of the other, and to continue on in the training and practice of evangelism. All those people who tell you no, right? Sometimes it's hard to hear, isn't it? It's no different for me. You think I'm any different than you? I'm not. When someone says no to me, it's still no, trust me. And it's discouraging because you want people to have what you have, right? Who here has faced rejection when they share the gospel? Or is everyone here when they share the gospel and they automatically believe? We got any of those? Please. This is a reality. But we have to have sufficiency to endure and continue to practice and continue to train in evangelism. So now we've overcome three things, right? Three obstacles. We have perfect assurance. We have perfect confidence in our message, perfect assurance of who we are, and perfect sufficiency to endure in the training and practice of evangelism. That's what we need. Now, what does that look like in the field? Okay? What does it look like? Normally, I would have someone here to share some of their experiences. What does it look like to be an overcomer? Right? But my wife isn't here. She's my much better half. Trust me. Yes, much better half. She's not here, and I would normally have her share. I would have another brother and sister in the Lord share. So, but let me share a couple of things from her experience in evangelism. My wife is all of 5 feet on a good day, okay? Very tiny, petite little sister in the Lord. Beautiful wife, okay? And but she's very bold and forthright in evangelism, okay? She loves to do evangelism. And we were married for about 5 months. And she came down with something called MS, right? MS, are you, anybody here familiar with MS? Okay, it's basically, it's like your nervous system short circuits. And it's you know, impossible to walk or to eat or do anything. It's really, it's a difficult disorder. And the neurologists don't have any solutions for it, really, honestly. So, but anyway, it's a difficult thing. But she came down with this, and so she said, well, you know, I don't know if I can drive anymore. So we went and got one of those, you know, hand-operated brakes, right? See? And you have to understand, my wife may be 5 feet, but she likes to drive big trucks. F-350 crew cab, okay? That's what she likes to drive. So we put it on there. It's this great big old crew cab, right? And this little tiny woman driving it with a handbrake, you know? She said, well, you know, what if I'm not safe to drive? This is her thinking. You know, I need to figure out whether I'm actually safe to even keep driving, right? Okay. Well, the only people who are going to tell you are the people down at the DMV, right? So she said, well, I've got to go down to the DMV and have them test me and tell me that I'm safe, right? Well, of course, you do that, and then they can also take your license away, right? That's the reality. So she went down, and she's taking her test in this great big old crew cab with the handbrake, right? And she's backing up, and you have to back up 75 feet, and she nicks the curb, right, while she's backing up. He says, Mrs. Tyler, I have to warn you that if you do this another time, nick the curb, I'm going to have to, you know, flunk you, fail you. Talk about a little bit of pressure, right? Amen? A little bit of pressure there. No, who wants to lose their driver's license? Anybody? Please. And it's terrible, you know. And so, well, boy, you know, the Lord was with her shop, quick prayer. 75 feet, no problem. She did that. She went through everything, and she passed the flying colors. And the guy says, Mrs. Tyler, I want you to know, you passed the test with flying colors. You know, you're safe to drive. Of course, she's really excited, right? And he says, now, do you have any questions for me? She says, yeah, just one question. I said, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? He goes, yeah, I'm a believer, you know, and my brother's really into it, you know. So she said, well, you know, I have a gift for you. And she pulled out glove compartment. We never go anywhere without Gospel of John, by the way. We have them at the front door. We have them in the car, in the glove compartment. Keep them in the jacket, motorcycle. Okay? Always be prepared. So she says, hands him 5 or 6 Gospel of John, says, you know, you can share your faith right from this Gospel of John. The guy goes, yeah, I'll pass it on to my brother, you know. And so she said, well, she came home. She said, well, I think the guy was a believer, so he's a believer, right? She didn't know. I mean, she just took him at his word, right? And that's what you should do. 2 years later, my son John is ready to get his driver's license, right? Has to take his test. She goes back down to the same DMV with my son John. Walks in the door. He has one look at her from clear across the DMV. He said, oh, my goodness, I've been waiting for you. I'm born again. I'm born again. He's so excited. Right there in the middle of a DMV. And this is a busy DMV. This is Orange County, California. He is broadcasting this thing all over the place. He's so excited. I'm born again. And she's saying to herself, wow, I thought he was born again before. Right? See? So what does she do? What does an overcomer do? An overcomer shares a faithful message in a kind, gentle, and gracious way. That's what overcomers do. Can you do that? Yes? Amen? Can we do that? Oh, we're going to do this again. We'll start this whole sermon over again. Can we do this again? Amen? Amen. We can do this. A simple message graciously shared. That's all she did. That's what an overcomer looks like. You know? She's not 6'8". Now 6'6". But she's all 5 feet on a good day. Okay? Right? Okay. I'll tell you one little more story, another story about my wife. While we lived in Orange County, she used to have to use a walker 7 months out of the year. So she would walk with a walker, right? Because of the heat. The Lord opened a door to go to Sequim, Washington, and to be a local church evangelist at the Crossing Church. We went to Sequim, right? You know how good the Lord is? My wife now rides a Yamaha 650 V-Star. That's what she gets around on. The Lord's good, okay? That's how good the Lord is. She's now riding around on a motorcycle. So she's kind of unreasonable too, just like me. It's a good thing the Lord paired us up, right? Bless me with her. So the point is this, that's what an overcomer looks like. A simple message, confidence in the message, assurance of who you are, sufficiency to endure in the practice and training. And what we're doing is we're sharing a simple, straightforward promise in a very, very gracious manner. Now, I want us, before we leave tonight, okay, you've seen a number of people demonstrate from the Gospel of John the ability, okay, to share your faith. Simply, to preach from the Word, right? The Gospel of John. We've seen little kids do it. 11-year-olds, right? We all know we can do that. But before we go, do we have a box of Gospel of John, brother? Can you get those for me? Yeah, that'd be great. I need some Gospel of John. I need everyone to get a Gospel of John because we're going to practice here. For this little bit. Thank you so much. Normally I would pass these out to you, but while we're doing that, we also need to practice. We need to pass these out. Can you help me? What is your name?
Jeremy.
Jeremy. It's nice to meet you, brother. Yeah. Pass these out to everybody, okay? Yeah. Hopefully there's enough. Thank you. You all are wonderful. Done a super, super job. I've got another story for you, okay? All right? I have a brother in the Lord. His name is Dennis Begulin. Dennis is about 74 years old. And if you ask Dennis, do you like evangelism? He'd say, absolutely not. I can't stand evangelism. It intimidates me to no end, right? But he has learned to share a simple, straightforward message from the Gospel of John. That's what he's learned to do. He's learned to be faithful, be gracious, and share from the Gospel of John. This is what he's learned to do. So he has a ministry, and it's called MIA, Ministry in Action. That's what he calls it. And what Dennis does, and along with a team of brothers in the Lord, they will go and minister to those who are in hospice care. Right? See? The spouse who's taking care of the person who's undergoing hospice needs help taking care of things in the house. It's a very difficult time. So they will do that. Well, he had the opportunity to take care of someone who was 95 years old. This gentleman had cancer. Right? He's on his way. Last legs, right? His name is Gil. And Dennis went over and took care of his yard and everything else. And what Dennis did is after he was through, he went up to the door and he said, now, Gil, I really appreciate the opportunity to take care of you and to do this for you. I have something for you. This Gospel of John. My only request is that you would read this Gospel of John and see if Jesus' promise of eternal life isn't true. See? That's what I want. That if you'd do that for me, that's all I ask. Just read this and you tell me. See? So Dennis left. And what Dennis had done was he had taken the good works of the gospel and linked it with the message of the gospel, which is very, very powerful. Link the good works with the message. Next thing he knew, a week later, Dennis goes back. He says, now, Gil, have you read that Gospel of John that I gave you? And Gil goes, well, you know I haven't. But my wife has, right? And turns out his wife is a born-again believer, in the Gospel of John, rekindled her love for the Lord. See? And so his wife and Gil came down to the Crossing Church, and the people at the Crossing Church are very loving, just like you all are. Just loved on them. That's all. Just loved on them, right? And Dennis and Charisse, his wife, like to go down to Southern California every summer to see their kids, right? So they did their yearly trip down to Southern California. And Dennis came back. The first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to see his buddy Gil, right? So he went over to Gil's house. He said, "How's Gil doing?" And the wife answered the door and he says, "How's Gil doing?" And she says, "You know, I am so sorry. I have very sad news. Gil has passed on." And, oh, Dennis was crushed. Just absolutely crushed. But she said, "You know, I also have really good news. Gil read that Gospel of John and believed on the Lord before he passed on." You see, Gil's 95 years old, and the Lord never quit, did he? See? And he used a faithful brother to bring a simple, straightforward message in a very gracious way. Can we do that? Amen. Good. Now, here's what I want us to do. Forgive me for not having given you this Gospel of John before. Thank you for helping us out. Appreciate it, brother. And now you should have two things. You should have a list of scriptures, right? All right? What I want you to know is that there's a box, or actually a plastic box, full of books back there in the back of the church, or in the front of the church. Those books are free. You can take them. Totally free. All I ask is that you take and learn one scripture and take a book. And I'm not even going to check up on you. How's that? Everybody gets 100%. Okay? I trust you on this. Just learn a scripture verse. See? And we're going to learn one scripture verse tonight. John 6:47. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." Say it. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." Was that hard? And no, it's not. It's really simple, isn't it? It's very simple. So just take some time, learn some scripture, and pick out your book. And there's also some DVDs. Forgive me. Boy, that was really hard to do. Can you see that? Watch that again. One sip, though, is all you need of living water. Isn't that right? Just one sip. Let's see it. Watch this again. I tell you, it's a wrist action. So, at any rate, you can stone me later, right? I'm an unreasonable man. At any rate, the key is you want to take some time. These are really great verses to learn. You see how the children can even preach from these verses. They're so simple. They're so straightforward. Take some time, memorize them, and the Lord will open doors for you. Now, the next thing I want us to do, I want to leave on this simple note, all right? So, here's what we're going to do. Excuse me. What is your name, brother?
Paul.
Paul? I'm Frank. It's nice to meet you. It's a pleasure. You know, I've got a gift for you, Paul. I've got to run. That's a gift for me to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, what did I just do? I gave a gift, right? And what did I do? I don't have time right now. Life is a hustle bustle, right? So I'm moving on, right? He's going to move on too, right? See? Let me ask you a question. Where's my confidence right now? Is it in me? Who is it in? Jesus and His Word. I have confidence that Jesus is going to take His Word and minister that Word to my brother Paul. Well, obviously Paul is a born-again believer, but I mean, we're just demonstrating here, see? You like that?
Yeah.
That's a special evangelism model there, buddy. So at any rate, the point is this, okay? See, in evangelism, sometimes we make it too hard. Jesus and His Word can be as simple as, "I have a gift for you. I have confidence in Jesus and His Word, not myself." Eureka. See? Boy, we're going to sum everything else up tonight. Confidence in Jesus and His Word. The bottom line, not myself. Right? Yeah. This is a reality. See? I have confidence to do that. Now, I want you to practice it, okay? So you're sitting next to someone. I want you to practice it. "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and who are you? It's nice to meet you. I've got to run, but I have a gift for you." Boom. Give them a gift, and there you go. Can you practice that? Let's go. Stand up. Stand up. Not all at once. No one fall down here. Okay? All right? So just practice.
What's your name?
I'm Frank.
Okay.
Frank.
I got a nice gift.
Thank you. Wow. I think I might. Is this the evangelism model?
Yes, it is.
It is. The highlight. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea to highlight those verses, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it helps. Hey, you. Thank you for coming today.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Totally awesome having you here, brother.
I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah? I'm glad.
Are we done?
Now. So, how was that? How was it? Was that hard? Now, I want you to think about this. You have just survived an unreasonable man. You've done really well. Yeah, you've done great. All of you can do evangelism. All of you. And don't be surprised if you just find yourself being a little unreasonable and sharing in places that you never dreamed of sharing, in ways you never dreamed of sharing. Brother, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you. You all are lovely. The Lord is good. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Emmanuel.
Amen.
Jesus and His Word. Emmanuel.
Jesus
and His Word. All right.